broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Odds Couple. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper. Good thing, because this show is about sports betting. It must be Friday. Friday. I'm joined by Anthony Padilla.
What's up, buddy? I always happy to be here, especially when I keep winning.
When's the last time you picked a loser?
86.
I'm guessing it's been January. Every week he's here. I mean, here's the thing. In the last 7 days, my friends, I've been on a streak. Brett Grant has been on a streak. I've hit 6 of my last 7 games on this show, and only to be upstaged by Anthony Padilla. I believe it was January when you had the Suns taking on the Thunder as a double-digit dog. I mean, when you lose convincingly.
I lost that one bad.
You had 12 points. I only lost by 30.
Yeah. Yeah. That. In fact, I think that's kind of how most of my losses have gone. Where they were sure bets. Oh, actually, during the football season. No, I'm sorry, that was you.
Oh, yeah, great. When yeah, the Seattle game. When, get on. Who were they playing? 65. Arizona? Oh, yeah. Get on Buffalo plus 11.
Yeah.
You can count on this one. They lost by 58 zip or something.
Go ahead and take that.
But you don't
lose.
You don't lose. You just lose your original bet. It's not like we had action points and you just keep piling on.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, just like the Bulls lost by 37 the other night. It still only counts as one loss.
Well, that's a good point. I have to say that having won 6 of my last 7 games, the concern I have is I'm a grinder. I'm in here 24/7 making things happen, doing research, and only to have you cherry pick, come in once a week. One time.
Now,
I mean, you release one play a day. I'm releasing at least one play every day.
You release one play a week. Let's not get this twisted. We were both once a week for a while. You just chose to go from having nothing to do in front of your computer every day to having nothing to do here in the studio as part of that daily routine. So, and I'm not cherry picking. While you're here, I'm watching these games that you're watching on the computers every day. I'm actually watching them being played. So let's not get it twisted.
Whatever you're doing, it's working. And always good to have you with us, Anthony Padilla, co-host, The Odds Couple. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper featured on my site. I'm featured all over my own website. PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, Tim Donahue, former NBA official, his site, RefPicks.com. Be sure and check that out. Anthony Padilla with me here every Friday from 10 to 11. The studio line is open, 702-221-7283. You want to talk sports betting, 702-221-7283. I'm pretty sure Scott Whitney and Jacob Cannon have the live chat up and running as we're live and worldwide. Vegas Video Network simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio. Let's get started with What Say You? No Team? I mean, Anthony Padilla can relate because he's been on fire. So have the Golden State Warriors to the tune of 11 straight ATS against the spread covers. Now it's 1-1 going into Oakland tonight. The Warriors, will they make it 12 consecutive covers? What say you?
Man, this Warriors team, they are fun to watch. Like, I wish they had a couple more years under their belt. I was talking to somebody the other day. I wish they just had that little bit more experience under their belt, because it's ridiculous. Like, how not only are they good, but they live up to the hype. You know, they're not just good at home. They're good on the road, as we saw in San Antonio. They handle pressure very well. It almost seems as now, and actually, this is kind of tricky because they handle pressure very well, clearly. But I don't know that they have what it takes to finish. And now yes, they're tied 1-1, but they should be up 2-0 right now. And if there's a team that's capable of coming back and winning a series against a team like this, obviously it's the Spurs. Now, I don't know, man. This is a really I think this could be better than the finals, in my opinion. This series that we're watching right now.
Well, it's very, very exciting seeing how it's playing out, because you have the young, inexperienced, unproven Warriors taking on the big bullies, the four-time NBA champion Greg Popovich led San Antonio Spurs, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. These guys are healthy. They're hungry. They destroyed the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs, the last two games by 52 points, winning by 21 points and 31 points, and yet it's 1-1, and as you said, it hurts to hear this as a Spurs fanatic, because I'm only a fan because it's where I have my money. I have the Spurs to win the Western Conference at plus 250, plus 220 for significant cash. I'm a little concerned, not a lot, but I think it's an overlay. It's an overreaction. I had my buddy Dink in yesterday, and we are on the same page. It's like, how do you go? The series price after the Spurs came back to win game one, the series price minus 10 to 1, plus 9 to 1 on the Warriors. Today, it's minus 70, minus 60 on the Spurs. That's it. So it's an overreaction. But in defense of that, consistent with what you're implying, Anthony, is the fact that the Warriors, for all intent and purpose, they've outplayed the Spurs in both games.
Yeah, and they haven't just outplayed them. This is, you know, I don't actually, I do like to bring up old stuff because that's how you relate the best. So if we go back early in the season, you remember I said, not specifically with this matchup at all, but I said the Spurs are an old team. Popovich is resting them. That's great. And they'll get through the regular season because that's what they do. But if they get to the playoffs, and I'm sure we've got tape on this somewhere, when they get to the playoffs, if they face a younger, fresher team, and actually I think I was using Oklahoma City at the time.
Right on.
But instead it's Golden State. They're going to get run out of the gym, which they are. I mean, again, I don't think that the Spurs coming back is a testament to how good they are as much it is a testament as Golden State is just not yet learned how to close somebody out. You know what I'm saying? I think that Golden State
have an idea
is more
what
than
you're
dominant.
Saying.
In
Do
this.
You have any idea what you're saying?
I absolutely know that. Yeah, you know what? The more you say this, the more I can't
What's
wait to watch
the Golden
the Spurs.
State yellow jersey.
Hey, it's what I do, man. I'm on the bandwagon. My Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, you know they're hurting, man. So I am all about Golden State. Steph Curry, and I want to get a Curry and a Klay Thompson jersey. These guys are fun to watch.
They are
really fun to watch. Now, I know this doesn't look the same when you're watching the numbers on the computer, but if you actually watch these guys shoot the ball, it's really fun, Scott. You should give it a shot.
I don't know. I'm not much for fanfare. I'm more about numbers. And as good as Klay Thompson is, the fact is he was unbelievably hot. 7 of 8 shooting.
Out.
My computer box score tracking the play-by-play on my computer at home stated that he was 6 of 7 or 7 of 8 in the first half. He had 29 first-half points the other night, but Pop and the Spurs did, and they do what they do. They made the adjustments. Klay Thompson, 5 second-half points. That's the good news. The bad news is when you bury yourself, you're down 19 points. It's tough to come back. Dink brought up a good point yesterday. He says, you know, we know that the Spurs are good enough to come back. They've come back from big, fat, double-digit deficits to win the first game and make a serious run to get within 6 after being down 20 late in the third quarter to come back. But are the Warriors capable of, if they should fall behind by 7 to 10 points, are they capable with their youth and inexperience? We have seen this team fade the last 4 minutes up 16 against the Spurs game one. We saw them fade against Denver up 18, 6 minutes to go before the Nuggets had a chance to tie with 11 seconds to go. They don't have David Lee. I think the Spurs will make more necessary adjustments. They held Curry to 22 points, but Klay Thompson lit him up 29 first-half points.
Well, I don't think you can really make that or have that conversation because I don't see the Spurs going up by 10 at any point. I see them keeping it close, but I don't ever see Golden State going down by that much.
Wow. What have you been drinking?
Are you serious?
That's five baskets?
Yeah.
You don't think the Spurs are will
I understand
lead?
That, but you're talking about a team that was up against the Spurs by 19 at halftime in Game 2 and up by 16 with 4 minutes left in Game 1. So at some point, like if 4 years ago, if this were the Spurs, then I would understand. But if you're a Spurs fan, you should be very concerned right now because of the fact that you're having to come back out of the gate. They're going down right out of the gate.
The concern is 3 of the next 4 games are in Oakland. That is a concern.
That's a huge concern.
But the Warriors, I mean, the Spurs are a very good road team in spite of how they finished the season because they were banged up considerably. The idea is they are hungry. To me, Anthony Padilla, it comes down to 3-point shooting. The Spurs are a very good 3-point shooting team. They were 5 for 21 in the last game, and Curry and Thompson, they were lights out, hitting close to 50%. That has been the difference in the series at this point.
Sure, but again, you know, when you're going to compare, when you're going to say, okay, well, the Spurs were 5 for 21. All right, let's be honest. Ginobili hit the game-winning shot in game one. Around that, he's pretty much been horrendous.
That's been a surprise. I mean, the guy was like 5 for 20 in that game. He was 4 for 19 before he hit the game winner. And the concern for that in game one, I've talked to people about this. If you watch the replay, I mean, it's a good thing it went in if you're a Spurs fan, but it was a low percentage shot because Boris Diaw was wide open underneath the basket in a one-point game had he just dumped it off to him, because Boris Diaw's man left him to contest the three-point shot by Ginobili. And on Ginobili's best day, that's maybe a 40% makeable shot, but contested, it might be even less. And for the game winner, it might be even less. But he did hit the rainbow three. But I would have liked to have seen him dump it off inside to Boris Diaw, who was unguarded a foot from the basket.
Yeah, but he wasn't unguarded until Ginobili started to pull up for the shot.
But instead of shooting it, just dump it off.
Maybe, but because of where the clock was, I think you're giving them too much time. It was a decision. He had the wide open shot when he took it at the point when he got the ball. It was a wide open shot, and yes, Diaw's man left him, but it was already once Ginobili started to take the shot.
Well, 3.8 seconds, actually 3.4 seconds. They had plenty of time to do it. But, yeah, in the heat of the moment, it's easy for me. Because I did watch the replay 10 times. It's like, hey,
he should have dumped 20 minutes. Just dump it underneath.
Easy for me to say, right?
Well, and you know what? It's first of all, he shouldn't have been left wide open. Second of all, he had that shot. I mean, the Spurs missed that shot 7 out of 10 times in game 2 throughout the game. So, you know, again, it was just...
The Warriors are number one in the league in three-point shooting. The Spurs are third and fourth. So both teams are very good at shooting the three ball. The Spurs have just been ice cold from the outside at this point in time. It's going to be very interesting to see how this series plays out. I'm not about to get off the bandwagon. I mean, I was talking to Brett Grant earlier, the GM of KSHP, about, he was asking, do you hedge, do you not hedge? I said the concern and the problem is, from a sports betting standpoint, friends, is most people make the mistake of hedging too early. You never want to do anything until there's an elimination game. And my concern is, and I am a little concerned, not a lot, because again, how do you go from a 10-to-1 favorite, meaning if you bet $1,000 on the Golden State Warriors, you get plus 9-to-1, you net 9,000 on the series before game two. Now, one game was played, the Warriors won. Yes, they upset the Spurs. They were getting 7 points in that contest. But today, that same $1,000, you have, you only win $1,600 as opposed to $9,000. So, again, it's an overreaction by Joe Public. They only remember what they saw most recently.
See, I don't think it is an overreaction, because it wasn't just in game two that they won. It was also in game one that they dominated. And, again, yes, they allowed the Spurs to come back, but they didn't score. If they would have scored one more basket in the last four, they scored 4 points in the last 4 minutes of game one. If they score one more basket, they win. Yes.
Or if Richard Jefferson hit one of two free throws.
Yeah,
if my
absolutely. But the point is, they dominated that entire game. So it wasn't as if they lost game one and then came back and won game two. They dominated both games and gave away game one.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday as far as it being an overlay and the Warriors getting too much respect. Regular season contest. I mean, the Warriors at home favored the Warriors at home against the Spurs. When the Spurs were banged up, the Spurs were favored by 5-6. So I made the line going to Oakland for game three. The Spurs, I made them a small favorite, and it opened one, but all the money's come in on Golden State, 2, 2.5, 3, a touch of 3 yesterday. I have the Spurs plus 3 just because there's value there. Believe me, I have enough writing on it. I could just kick back, relax, and hope that the Spurs win the Western Conference. But the fact is, this team, again, without David Lee, they're inexperienced, and we've seen that. We've seen the youth. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Mark Jackson. I have a lot of respect for what this team has done up to this point. But as Dink said yesterday, and I agree, he said, the Spurs are not this bad and the Warriors are not this good. Mean more than opinions. Give me the 3 points with the Spurs. See the cashier.
But see, I disagree with that.
Shocking.
I think Golden State is this good, and it's getting old hearing everybody, like, they are now becoming that team where it doesn't matter what they do, this is how skeptical we are. Nobody can ever go out on a limb based on faith and go, you know what, wow, they're really proving themselves. At what point they've done more than enough to prove themselves.
I agree.
And they have not only done more than enough during the regular season, but they played a tough series against Denver, which they weren't supposed to win. Winning that series alone should have garnered them respect, and it didn't. Then they go in as 8.5-point underdogs in game one of this series. They dominate that game. They dominate game two. And then you still have people saying, well, they're not this good. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. When you have their coach who played for a long time in the league and was a respected player and a respected coach saying this is the best backcourt he's ever seen, is he a little bit partial? Maybe. But you got to give them credit as far as being this good. And it's not that the Spurs are this bad. Again, I repeat, it's that they're this old, and you're playing a much younger, fresher team.
So I have to say,
Father Time waits for no one.
It's so unlike me. It's so unlike me to call you out, but I have to call you out in this case because Anthony Padilla is such a fan that, you know, here's the thing. Fact is, I have people out. I have surveillance. I have people tracking you because I.
How is he winning?
I am the. How does. What is he. Do, what is he having for lunch? You know. What is he having for dinner? What are his extracurricular activities to have such a tremendous streak? And what I discovered was, you know, you're hearing Anthony Padilla talk about the Golden State Warriors and they're this and they're that and blah blah blah. Fact is, after they lost game one, after they blew a 16-point lead with 4 minutes to go, Anthony Padilla tweeted for the entire world to see, including me, that this series is over.
I didn't say it was
over. And now today.
I did not say it was over.
What did you say?
If you're going to call me out, be careful what you say.
I'm paraphrasing based on telling you what my sources told me.
You're paraphrasing based on
after the Spurs came back to win game one, what did you say?
Look, this didn't need to be translated from another language to English, so they could have just told you directly.
After game one, what did you say? After the Spurs came back to beat the Warriors down 16.
I'll read it to you. I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you what I said. After that game, what I said was because this was and I know who told you this. This was your buddy Brett. Because he commented on it. What I said was, and this is word for word, I would never dare say a best-of-seven series is over after game one, but the fact that the Warriors blew a 14-point lead on the road with 4 minutes left in the game and it's the Spurs, and then you lose in double overtime by leaving Ginobili wide open, this is going to be a tough one to swallow, and I'm not sure if Golden State can recover. That's how impactful I think this loss just was. So I didn't say it was over. I said I felt that I don't know, just like you, that the inexperience of this team.
Because they did the same thing with the Denver Nuggets, but a win is a win is a win. They did win.
Yes, but they almost, if they would have lost game two by blowing another 19-point lead, I mean, at that point, I was like, all right, well, clearly no lead is safe. I mean, what do they have to do, go up by 40? They're never going to go up by 40 in this series. So if they just keep going up by 20, now you've just enabled the Spurs to think, hey, we're not going to try to go down, obviously, but if we do, guys, just remember, as long as there's time on the clock, we've got time to come back. But they came out in game two, and they showed that youth, they have that ignorant abandonment. I mean, they just go out and play and reckless abandonment. That whatever happened, you know, yeah, we gave up that lead. It doesn't matter. This is a fresh day, and they have a very short memory, which was great to see, you know, and that's why I'm saying I'm still cautious. I'm not saying the Warriors are now going to sweep the rest of the series, but I feel like they are definitely the better team.
Wow.
And that's with no disrespect to the Spurs.
Oh, it is with a lot of disrespect.
No, it isn't.
Calling me
no,
out
it
as
isn't.
An
why?
Old man.
Why? Because the Spurs.
Saying the Spurs are.
How
a
can
bunch
you
of
say
ancient?
They're a better team? The Spurs have 4 rings. This team doesn't. This year's team doesn't. And even the guys on the court, they're not the same age as they were 7 years ago.
Two. The Warriors are seeded 6. And the fact is,
seeding
during the regular
nothing.
Season.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yes, talk to me in game 7 when seeding doesn't mean anything. And
I will,
hosting.
Especially because this is only going to go 6. So I'll talk to you in game 7.
So based on what you're saying, you're implying that the Warriors are going to win all 3 games in Oakland.
No, I'm not saying that.
What are you saying?
I mean, but they should. The way they're playing right now, again.
They might be a small favorite in all 3 games, but again, all things being equal, if it's a pick, the chances of winning 1 game, 2 games, 3-1 against. So again, I expect the Spurs to get a split, and now we're looking at a 2-2 series going back to San Antonio for game 5, Oakland game 6, San Antonio game 7. It's basically a best 2 out of 3 series. My worst concern.
Taking 2 at home.
You're saying they're going to win the next 2 games.
No, I'm not saying the next 2. I'm saying they're going to take 2 out of the 3 at home.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, as a future better with the Spurs at plus 250, plus 220 to win the Western Conference. I can hope at this point that, worst case, I split in Oakland, and I think that's reasonable. The fact that the Warriors split in San Antonio, congratulations, good for them. We're going to keep things moving. The studio line is open, 702-221-7283. We would love to hear from you. Live chat up and running on Vegas Video Network. We're live and worldwide, simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio. Having a great time in the studio, as always, whether it's Brett Grant or Anthony Padilla. He's here every Friday. Love having Anthony. Been with me since September when we started this debacle called the Odds Couple. I want to talk now about the Chicago Bulls. They're banged up. They're playing tonight against the Miami Heat. And this is interesting. It kind of lends itself to what we were talking about. The Bulls in Game 1 were a 12-point dog, and they ended up winning the game straight up. Game 2, I mean, the line goes to 13. And the Heat, compliments of the zigzag theory, won by 30. So now you have the Bulls at home, game 3, favored by 7, or the Bulls getting 7.5 points at home against the Heat, but the Bulls are banged up.
To say the least, man. I mean, here's what I think the problem is when people try to compare series. You've got to take each series for what it is. I'm not saying you're doing this. Golden State San Antonio is not Miami Chicago. Golden State is a much better matchup against San Antonio than the Bulls are against the Heat. Because every game the Bulls go into, when Golden State goes into their game, it's like, man, you got to watch out for these guys. When the Bulls go against the Heat, all anybody talks about is, does this team have enough heart to win tonight? It's not the talent that they're saying. Nobody's saying this team is evenly matched. They're saying if they win, it's because they're out-hearting the Miami. Is that a word? Out-hearting?
It is today.
Okay, it is today. So, you know, that's a scary thing. And that's why they lost by almost 50. I mean, they went down by 44 in that game. I'm sorry, man, but that's absurd. To go down by 44 in a playoff game, that's where I now question everything about that team. Because that should never happen, period.
I don't think it really matters. Because, again, if you're down 20, 25, 30, you're going to rest, get your players off the court, and the Heat, you know, momentum. And
yeah,
talent.
But it doesn't matter because it's more telling because that's what everybody expected. Again, if it's two evenly matched teams, then I understand like, wow, that was a fluke, but it's not two evenly matched teams. The Bulls were 12-point underdogs in the first game, and they barely won because of heart.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. Going back to Chicago, like you said, this team is beyond banged up. Luol Deng, he lost 15 pounds over the last week because of this sickness that he had, and poor guy, but what can you expect out of him? Miami's a very physical team. He's not going to be able to come out and take a punishment or deliver any for that matter. You know, Heinrich's still on the bench. Derrick Rose, even in uniform, it doesn't matter. I think that's, to be honest, and I know you don't buy into all this stuff because you look at the numbers, but he's causing more of a distraction by, well, maybe I'm going to be there, maybe I'm not, well, maybe now I'm going to put a uniform on. Dude, just get on the court or shut up. You're hurting your team. You're distracting your team.
3 months this guy's been playing. He's been cleared by the doctors, but he says he doesn't trust the Chicago Bulls doctors, and I'm starting to think his teammates are starting to doubt trusting him because, again, he's been playing full court for the past 2-3 months, and he's been shining in practice.
Yeah, and he said, well, you know, when I come back, I've got to be at this high level and da-da-da. You know what, man? Then if that's what you're saying, then when you come back, you better have some triple doubles right away, and you better be leading this team to victories. How about just come back? If you just came back, you could eat it. You could go over the field all night long, and people are just going to be happy that you were wanting to get back on the court with your team. But when you keep putting it off and say, "Well, I can't get back until I'm at this level," well, then you better come back at that level, man, because otherwise, then you just wasted everybody's time for the last 3 months.
For those of you keeping score at home, like myself, Anthony Padilla and I talked months ago about who's going to win the NBA championship. I give him credit because he didn't go with the obvious selection like I did, the Miami Heat. Can't imagine any team beating that team 4 times in a 7-game series. He liked the Oklahoma City Thunder, and for all intent and purpose, they probably had a reasonable shot, although I wouldn't be conceding anything because the Spurs match up extremely well with that team. Not so much against Golden State, but pretty well against the Thunder. So we have the Memphis Grizzlies playing tomorrow. Going to be an exciting matchup, Game 3. The Grizzlies have stolen home court. How does this team get it done? They have no bench. They have a good coach, good starting five, but these guys cannot play 48 minutes, although Brett Grant and I were talking the other day. They're marquee players, 43, 43, 42 minutes, getting it done on the road at Oklahoma City. Your Thunder, as good as they are, I feel for this team because they certainly are struggling without the second-best player on that team in Westbrook.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think this is a good example of teams who do what it takes versus teams who rely too much. As good as David Lee is, Golden State has made the adjustments where you almost don't even, you almost don't even notice that he's not out there, you know? Oklahoma City, they just look they look like a lost puppy without Westbrook. And that shouldn't be the case. You know, it is one guy, and he is the heart and soul of the team next to Durant. And now it's becoming questionable of who truly is more the heart and soul. Because if Kevin Durant is still out there and you lost Westbrook's, well, then Durant should still be leading this team. But he's not. Well, he is, but not convincingly. And the fact that Memphis is very much in this series, and the fact that, let's be honest, Oklahoma City almost went out in the first round.
Well, here's what you have. I respectfully disagree. I think Durant's doing everything he possibly can. Since Westbrook went down, he's averaged 35.5 points per contest. But it's the old adage, my friend, that five beat one.
I'm not sure that I understand that adage in this because five players will beat one. Sure, I understand that. And that's something that you would
have come up with back in the day. You understand the words that are coming out.
Five is better than one. Five is more than because if you have more,
that's kind of the intense insight that we offer here.
No, but look, Durant though is starting to become a baby on the court. And I don't know if he's starting to become a baby, but the other night I really didn't like, man, when he was driving and he spun and he just flat out fell on his butt. And rather than get up and then kind of, give the look that they do, he sat there and threw his arms up like, I'm waiting. They're going to stop play if I just, dude, get up. Go the other way. The ball's going the other way already. There's 7 seconds left in the game. What are you doing? You know, but he's starting to develop that I'm a superstar. How did you not call that? And there was no call. When you look, he slipped. He just fell on his own. So that concerns me.
Well, and it should, because that goes back to body language. A marquee player like that shouldn't have to bait or coax or coerce the official into blowing the whistle. But I am not a big fan of this team because of your point guard, Derek Fisher, who is one-dimensional. I say that knowing that he's had a pretty good series, which is beyond me because he's one-dimensional. Spot-up three-point shooters are a dime a dozen in this league. He's a tremendous liability on defense. And, again, just the end of the game. I did track the end of the game the other night where Tony Allen stole the ball, went in with a slam dunk, and then the game's over. 5 seconds, 4 seconds, you're down 10. But what does Derek Fisher do? Because he's an attention whore. He has to pad his stats. Are you kidding? Really? He has to sprint down, wide open three, and he makes it. Congratulations. You lose by 7 now instead of 10.
Why did that bother you?
It bothers me because I'm not a big fan of Derek Fisher. I'm a big fan of Mark Cuban.
But when there's 7 seconds left and the game is over and they're going down, what do you expect him to do?
Professional basketball players, okay? Professional basketball players, not hacks, not amateurs, but professional basketball players. Not your friendly game at the YMCA, all right, with the ladies. I'm talking about a grown man, a trained professional. The game is over. 99.9% of the time, players will be at half court and they will dribble the ball out.
Not when you're down. It's the same reason when teams are down by 10.
The guy
they
hit
foul.
A three. He hit a three at the buzzer.
Yeah, but it's the same reason that players foul with 7 seconds left.
In college, yes.
And the NBA.
You're a Gulf Coast team from Florida, yes, that's what they would
that's
do.
Not, no, but it's not what one team does. It's what everybody does. That's why the last minute of a basketball game lasts another half an hour, 45 minutes in real time. It doesn't matter to you when you're looking at it on a computer screen and you have five other games going on. Just in the version of numbers. But when you're watching the game, it's ridiculous to watch it go back and forth.
And yet you'll be right back there watching it again tonight.
Yeah, of course. But the point is, when he goes down, if you were actually watching it, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Oh, it was.
No, it's not.
It was.
Whoever had the ball was going to shoot it.
No, they would not.
Absolutely they would. In fact, if there were 2 seconds when they inbounded the ball, they would have shot it from near the end of the other court.
The fans were booing. They were so upset that Tony Allen went in for a dunk. And I'm thinking, you know what? I get that. The game's over. Why?
Talk about padding stats and shoving.
But it was
in
the
face.
Momentum of
no,
the play.
Wrong, no.
So maybe he was wrong, but Derek Fisher trumped him by being more wrong.
There was nothing wrong with what Derek Fisher did.
You're wrong for saying so.
Unless the spread was 6.5, well, and then because of that shot, they lose
it
by
happens
that
all
extra
the time.
Point.
Welcome to my world.
Well,
and
just
that's
remember,
why I'm always watching things
yeah,
like that.
And,
because
and just remember, the players could care less about the sports bettors.
Right, and
in
we
fact,
care
when
less.
It's up to the players, you shouldn't care less about the players. Without them, you don't have a job.
Well, what you do have is a player that is such an egomaniac like Derek Fisher, just trying to pad his stats. So we're going to see how this plays out. Your Thunder
I'm amazed
about
that,
to be embarrassed
I'm amazed
by
that the guy
Grizzlies.
Who signed a contract just before the playoffs and is barely playing is trying to pad his stats with a three-point shot at the end of the game.
Have you not been following this clown for the past 10 years?
What stat is that padding? Yeah, we talked about that when he signed, and I even agreed that he's just wanting to go to another team to try to get another ring. And you were the one that, when he signed, said, good for him. Hey, more power
no,
to
I
you.
Did
you
not.
Do. Yes, you did.
I absolutely not.
Yes,
I threw
did.
Him under the bus. I've been throwing him under the bus ever since. Did you leave and come back? Have you not been watching the show? Do you not listen to what you
yeah,
say
I
on
watched
the show?
No, I watched the numbers. I don't actually watch the show.
You're listening to – that was a low blow. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. We are going to do something called Spin to Win. Here's the wheel. This is about dealing with objective reality. The smart professional sports bettor always bets with their head, never their heart. Emotions cloud judgment. We have a basketball game going on tonight, you might have heard, in Oakland. The Golden State Warriors taking on the – San Antonio Spurs, the point spread for the game. Warriors are 2.5. I'm going to have to make an argument for which team? Wow, this is fun. San Antonio Spurs.
That's what you get for spinning the wheel before you even explain the game.
I'm trying to keep a tight show. I don't want any downtime, no dead air. Al, the board operator here, and I think – I mean board operator, not like he's bored. I mean he's running the controls.
Are you sure? Because I'm listening to this conversation and I'm pretty bored as well.
The Senate, again, spin
yeah,
to win.
Good luck
has
with this
to,
one.
I'm going to try to change things up a little bit. Now, spin to win has to do with just, again, being objective. I'm forced to make an argument for the San Antonio Spurs. Anthony automatically has to argue for the
take
other
the
side.
Take the winner? That's what I have to do is take the winner.
It has to do with objective reality. The San Antonio Spurs plus the 3 that I played yesterday. Today, it's 2.5, a touch of 2. I really feel the money is going to come in on the Spurs before this thing tips off tonight in Oakland. The game goes at 7:35 Las Vegas time. Now, what I like about the Spurs is Pop knows best. Best coach. I respect Mark Jackson, but again, Popovich with 4 NBA championships. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know it's been 2007 the last time they won, but this team is hungry. They're healthy. They're proven. Deep bench. They just need to get some three-point baskets to fall their way. The San Antonio Spurs, come on. I mean, this team was favored by 5-6 in Oakland a few weeks ago, and they were not healthy. The Warriors are without David Lee. I give the Warriors credit for what they've done, but it's tough to continue and sustain that level of continuity and consistency when you're basically a finesse team, a three-point shooting team. Get on the Spurs plus the points. See the cashier.
See the cashier. See the retirement home. Look, just because osteoporosis doesn't show up on an injury report doesn't mean the Spurs are healthy. Okay, you've got the entire lineup, I think, is they go. The reason they've started to move these games back is because the Spurs have to get their dinner in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and be in bed by 10. All right? Cause
have
that,
you thought
that's
about maybe trying comedy one time?
Never. I can't stand the business. But as far as this goes, man, it's they're going back to Oracle Arena, now what they like to call Roracle. And, man, that place is what every sports arena should be like. I mean, truly. And I hate to see when just certain fans get up. People who love sports and claim they love sports, that arena should not be the exception where it's like, wow, it's so much. Everywhere should be like that. It is that energized. It reminds me, that entire situation. I put this on Facebook as well. I don't know if you had one of your little cronies check this one out. But I put that this Golden State team and those fans remind me of the D'Antoni days with the Suns. When they were that fast-paced young team,
a team that never ever won anything. Yeah, that team. Yeah, kind of, they do.
Yeah,
they kind
the
of
title.
Mirror each other.
They didn't win the title.
They didn't win the West either.
I'm talking about the way that the energy was.
Oh, okay. I'm more interested about wins and losses. But yeah, go ahead.
Are you? Because you know the team can lose the game and you can still win the bet.
Yes, I've heard.
Right. I do that every week. In fact, I've done it every week for the past 4.5 months. So getting back to
if
this
you
game.
Actually, imagine how rich you would be if you actually if had actually money bet. To step
right.
up and bet.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, that would be fun. And if you want to get down to the nitty gritty and bring up the details, then I suppose I see where you're coming from.
Don't let
that.
The facts get in the way of a good story.
Exactly. Now, going back to this wonderful game, you know, with the line that close, I mean, even though Golden State has clearly proven themselves the better team, by dominating in every aspect, the backcourt, well, defensively, I think the Spurs are still a better defensive team. But I think it is going to be a close game. I think Golden State's going to make another run, and I think they're going to go up by 10 or 12 at some point. But I also think the Spurs are going to make a run and cut it close at the end. I just think 2 is not enough. So I think Golden State's going to win. I think the Spurs are going to hang around. But I still think Golden State's going to win by at least 5 or 6.
I have to say, my friend, I mean Anthony, when you talk about that you think this team has proven that they're better, I could not disagree more. Why then? They have home court advantage now over the Spurs. 3 of the next 4 games are in Oakland, yet the Spurs are favored to win the series.
Yeah. That's
so if what you say is true, you're going to be a rich dude because you can make a lot of money with the big fat plus on the Warriors.
Of course the Spurs are favored to win the series because they're the Spurs, and they're getting that same – they're getting the New England respect. You know, it doesn't matter. They're the Spurs. They're the Spurs. They've proven themselves. They're the Spurs. What has Golden State done? It doesn't matter what Golden State has done. It doesn't matter what the Spurs have done. What matters is what Golden State is doing against the Spurs right now, which is cleaning the floor with them. So that is why they should be the favorites to win the series. And that's why it's being reflected game by game. You know, you're saying everybody's overreacting after one game. No. It's a 7-game series. They've played 2 games. You're practically a third of the way through the series. So at what point is it okay to jump on the side of Golden State? Look, it was 8.5 in the first game. You said that the money moved from 9,000 to 1,600 now. If Golden State wins tonight, let me ask you this, as a bettor. If Golden State wins tonight, then do they deserve the respect?
Well,
when the Warriors win the series, is that when they've earned their respect?
No, because they'll still be a big fat dog in the Western Conference Finals.
Right, but again, I don't care about that. They're playing the Spurs right now.
This is a sports betting show.
But
we talk numbers, odds, laws of probability.
But we're talking. You now sound like a Lakers fan. What happened to your Lakers? It doesn't matter, bro. How many rings do we have? Who cares? You're out of the playoffs now. That's what we're talking about. The Warriors are playing the Spurs. So that's what we're focused on. It doesn't matter if Golden State's favored in the next round. What matters is, and what I'm asking is, at what point in this series do they garner the respect of saying, okay, you know what, this team should be.
They've gotten my attention, okay? I was liking the fact going into the series, I was favored 8-1, and against the Nuggets, I mean, the Nuggets were favored 4-1 against this team, and they beat the Nuggets in 6 games, and then they went to San Antonio for the series. They were an 8-1 dog. After losing game 1, bumped up to 10, but wow, just because the Warriors win one game. All right, so congratulations.
But they didn't just win one game. They won the first game and then gave it away. So it's not like...
So it's 2-0? I missed something.
It should be, and that's where you don't get when you're watching the numbers. That's why you should pay attention to more than the numbers.
I look at facts, and the fact is...
The fact is, the Spurs were in the back seat by a long... Not when it comes to this. No, because
your Warriors? No. Congratulations. I have respect for Golden State. At San Antonio now, they are 1-30. Congratulations.
Is that all this year? Again, those are stupid
history
stats.
History has
man.
A way of repeating itself.
The last time they won was 1987. These guys weren't even born yet. The guys that are on the court now weren't even born yet. So who cares that that's the last time they won? Those are dumb stats. That's like comparing pitchers in Major League Baseball today to pitchers back in the old day when they used to throw 9-10 innings every start. And now you decide that the bullpen is more important and you have to save arms. There's no comparison. It's a different era. That 1-30, nothing to do with this team. This team is 1-1 against the Spurs in San Antonio in terms of the playoffs. So that's all I care about.
All right.
And they should be 2-0.
Great. Well said. Calm down.
I
think we need to take a break.
Hey, I am a Warriors fan. You got to understand.
I have
blue
a
and
bald
yellow.
Head thanks to you
I
being a Warriors fan.
I have blue and yellow Warriors, Oakland, California since 2 weeks ago. And it means a lot to me to hear people talk bad about my team.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. We're live and worldwide, having a lot of fun, as always, every Friday with Anthony Padilla. Odds Couple goes Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Brett Grant, general manager here at KSHP. Great guy, sports nut, bet sports. Love having him on the show on a day-to-day basis. We are going to take a quick break. Anthony needs to be put in timeout. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on KSHP, AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Simulcast live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, Anthony Padilla. We would love for you to reach out to us here at The Odds Couple. You can do that through email, oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to hear your voice on our show. Go to our site, Vegas Video Network, right-hand side, red bar, click there in the middle of the page. Green bar, hit start recording. We do have live chat up and running. Fielded some questions yesterday. Would love to field more sports betting questions today. If you do miss us live, no worries. You can reach out to us through Vegas Video Network, YouTube, iTunes, Roku. Frustration. Welcome to my world. Frustration. Sports betting. Are you kidding me?
All right, man. This is a really touchy subject for me, because as much as I love baseball, I feel like baseball does a lot of things wrong. I feel like they've done a lot of things wrong for a lot of years. I do not like Bud Selig. In fact, in order of, hate is such a strong word, but most disliked, I've got Jerry Jones at the top of the list, which is very difficult being a Cowboys fan, and I have Bud Selig right under him, which is very difficult being a baseball fan. But he just never seems to get it right. And in the latest controversy, it's amazing how it happens the way it does. Because it was 2 days in a row that something very similar happened. 2 days ago, you had the Oakland A's taking on the Cleveland Indians. In the ninth inning, Oakland's Adam Rosales hits what should have been a game-tying home run. In fact, in left center, it hit off the railing just above the fence. When you watch the replay, you see clearly it hit about three rungs up, bounced off, came back on the field. They ruled it a ground rule double. Bob Melvin came out, said, wait a minute, that hit the railing. So they went in, they looked at the video replay. After looking at the video replay, they still came out and said it was a ground rule double. So even with the ability to look at this replay, they still got the call wrong. Then, the very next day, when baseball had the chance to get it right again, Joe Torre, very well respected man in baseball, you know, now involved in the front offices, said that they looked at it. However, the call would stand because in that moment it's a judgment call, and that's what it would be left to be. So they left it alone. What are you doing? Make it right. It was a home run. You see that it was a home run. First of all, I can't believe. And then on top of that, the umpire in that game was the same umpire involved in the perfect game debacle 2 years ago with the Detroit Tigers. So now he's been in two of the most controversial blown calls in baseball, you know, in a matter of two seasons. It's ridiculous. And then the very next day, you've got another situation where you've got the Angels and the Houston Astros, two of baseball's worst teams. You know, they're both in the cellar of that division. But Houston makes a pitching change. That pitcher comes in, Mike Socha throws in a different pinch hitter, so as soon as he puts in that pinch hitter and Houston's manager sees that, he then makes a pitching change again before that pitcher throws a pitch. Well, Bob Melvin comes out and says, what are you doing? You can't. Mike Socha comes out and says, what are you doing? You can't do that. Houston says, well, wait a minute, it's my understanding that the guy that comes in has to throw to that batter. No, the rule is the pitcher that comes in has to face a batter. And that manager knows what he's doing. You're not that stupid if you're a Major League Baseball manager. You know what the understanding is, but you also know how to spin it. But again, the point is he sold it to the umpires who were supposed to know the rule book. So Major League Baseball, this is two very big things in a couple of days that should not have been gotten wrong, and you did, and this is just one more thing that you got to fix, and it's really starting to hurt the game more and more. I don't know where baseball goes, not just from here. I'm not saying this is the end-all, be-all, but it's just one more straw on the camel's back that it's about to break, and it worries me. Are you kidding me? Come on, baseball.
Well, we're talking baseball, and for the first time ever, you bring up a couple of good points.
I'm going to go. I can't even believe you just said that. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I've had a great time here on the show with my buddy Scott. I don't know where to go from there.
I guess the question is...
Bell ringing and chicken dinners for everybody.
I guess my question is, based on what you say, and I agree with your assessment, what is the answer? Anyone can find a problem. What is the answer? What is the solution?
In terms of what specifically? The one incident or overall?
Overall and more specifically about what... I mean, because in baseball, any sport, mistakes are part of the game. Guys, players miss free throws. Batters take a called third streak down or a called third strike right down the heart of the plate. Umpires are human. They make mistakes like everyone else. So it's unfortunate at the highest level. We saw it in football with the replacement refs. But again, what is the answer?
I understand missing the call on the field, you know, in that situation, because even when you watch the replay, you can't see it until you slow it down and zoom it in. But when you go watch the replay and there's three umpires looking at it, how do you miss it? I mean, that's very disconcerting. How did all of not one of them see? Or did they just collectively agree, yeah, you know what, whatever, let's get out of here. I mean, it makes me start to wonder, do they just want to go, well, if we give it to them and then it's tied? And you hate to say that, and yeah, that's a little far-fetched, but I mean, really, how do all three guys not see that? And there's another discrepancy here because they say, Joe Torre said, these umpires are given every replay that you see on TV. However, the umpires said they did not have every angle that they saw on TV later, and had they seen that, then they would have seen that it was a home run. Well, now that's starting to make me question the system. It shouldn't be that. Like, this is too difficult. Football got it right. How does baseball not get it right? It's not that hard.
We're talking baseball on the odds couple for my Are You Kidding Me segment. I would like to talk baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays, are you kidding me? This team has gone over the closing total 12 consecutive games. Now, yesterday, my play, I had to pull it off the table because it moved my way. Two nights ago, I liked the Rays Tampa Bay contest over 7-15. I woke up yesterday morning and all the money had come in on the over, so I couldn't compromise value. For you, the viewer, for you, the listener. So I pulled that game off the table, as you know. But again, the total over got there. Red Rover. The Rays love the over. Are you kidding me? 12 consecutive overs with this team. They've had some pitchers that have been underachieving, yet hitting. They've been manufacturing runs, getting timely home runs here and there. 12 consecutive overs for the Tampa Bay Rays. Are you kidding me? I love this part of the show. I love the show, period. You can't go wrong. 60-minute window, 10A to 11A. Odds couple, Monday through Friday. Scott Pritchard joined every Friday with Anthony Padilla. Monday through Thursday, Brett Grant, the GM. Class act. Very good co-host on this show. But this is the part of the show where Anthony Padilla and I put money into your pocket as we put you on the right side.
All right, well, every week we like to go back to the following week or the previous week and recap. Once again, I won, so enough said there. I hope you probably didn't cash that ticket, though, because you decided, no, Anthony's going to lose sometime. It wasn't last week, it's not going to be this week, because this week I've got the Heat and the Bulls. The Heat right now are 7-point favorites going into Chicago, which I'm a little confused by this because they were 12-point favorites. I'm sorry, what was the line in the first game?
12 and then 13.
Yes, thank you. So 12-point favorites in game one, which they lost. 13-point favorites in game two, which they won by 37 and were up by 44 at one point. Now, because they're going to Chicago, they're only 7-point favorites? I mean, we already talked ad nauseum about this game earlier. you know, Joakim Noah can only do so much. Taj Gibson is starting to play a little frustrated, and the rest of the team is banged up. How Miami is only 7-point favorites, as you always like to say, to me, this is a steal. Like I said, there's no point in continuing to talk about it because we did it earlier. We already broke down the game. Absolutely the right side for me, and all of you should be the Heat minus the 7. This is a steal. Cash that ticket, and because I said it, and I haven't lost in 4 months, the Bulls win by 4. But the right side for me is the Heat minus the 7.
Anthony Padilla, again, the less you know, the more you know. A la Anthony Padilla. I can't argue with success. The guy is on fire with the capital F since January. Every Friday he's on the show, and every Friday, ATS against the spread, he picks a winner. I don't even think he remembers who he had last week, but I do. He liked the Grizzlies -6, 6.5 at home against the L.A. Clippers. So tonight he's going with the Miami Heat on the road, laying the points. He's not respecting. In fact, he's disrespecting the home court, and who's to argue? He's a winner, winner, chicken dinner all day, every day, and twice on Sundays. My play? Well, let's recap what I did yesterday. I had to be pulled off the Tampa Bay game over, which got there because it moved too much. I cashed a ticket, but I could not give it out on the show. I did go with the Phillies contest, under 8, minus 15, another easy winner. My last 7 plays on this show, 6 winners, 1 loser. Today, I'm looking at a basketball game, NBA playoffs. I'm fond of the San Antonio Spurs. You know, when was the last time I gave out the Spurs on this show? Well, timing is everything. I respect the Warriors, 11-0 ATS against the spread. No David Lee. They've been overachieving. My team, the Spurs, they've been underachieving. This is a perfect storm. I played the Spurs +3 yesterday, William Hill Sportsbook, Las Vegas, Sin City, Nevada. Today, it's 2.5, a touch of 2. I think it's going to go down before it goes up. My play, Spurs plus the points. See the cashier.
And cash my ticket.
Anthony, do you have anything going on this weekend?
Just the same. Actually, I'm excited because I'm doing a couple of fun things. I've got my show. My parents are coming in town for Mother's Day. Excited to do that. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, I am actually going to be performing at the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society Women's Charity Gala from 6 to 9 over next to the Silverton, at the tent right next to the Silverton. I believe you can get tickets online. That'd be really cool. It's for a great cause, so I'm excited to do that. And, yeah, of course, you know, going to Pritchard's Picks, as always, so I see which way to go.
So your parents, I met your parents when we were in the studio outside of the radio studio. And, again, I promote the fact that your dad looks like a gentleman right out of GQ magazine. Your mom appears to be a supermodel.
I was adopted.
I was just going to imply that maybe that was the case.
Yeah.
But so your parents are going to be at the show tonight.
They might be tonight. They're driving in from Albuquerque today. So if they get here in time, because it's a trek, it's an 8.5-hour drive. So they may skip tonight because they'll end up coming the rest of the weekend. I don't know. With my parents, you can never tell.
I'm a big, big fan of Comedy After Dark, Anthony Padilla, LVH, in the Shimmer Showroom. Esteban plays, performs beforehand. I love checking out that show. I'm going to be doing a guest spot on your show tonight, so I need to know if your parents are there, because if your parents are in the audience, I'll certainly clean up my act. If not, I'll go on tilt, as I oftentimes do.
You know what? I think you should just wing it.
Why should today be any different than any other
exactly.
day?
Exactly. I think you'll be good to go.
Sonny is going to be
I'll
there?
I'll tell you what.
Sonny Gonzalez?
Yes, Jeremy's out of town hosting in Prim for the weekend, so we have Sonny filling in for him. But you know what? I've noticed a new edge to you ever since we shaved your head. And I'm not talking about because the top of your head is kind of pointy. I'm talking like a legitimate edge to your everything. You came out last Friday, and you just there's a different aura about you.
I'm glad that you recognize that, because the fact is, before I shaved my head, as a single man, I got very little action. And today, since I've shaved my head, I now get no action.
Well, at least you're in the right direction, you know? I mean, because when you're stuck in the middle, you're not really making a statement. But when it's all or nothing, there you go.
Check
you're
us out
being
tonight.
Noticed.
Comedy After Dark, Anthony Padilla, LVH, spelled just the way it sounds. The show goes at 10:15. Anthony Padilla, myself doing a guest spot. Sonny is the host, MC. We love Jeremy Wien, but man, oh man, this guy's in demand. He's on the road, traveling, doing this, doing that. Tomorrow night, if you're in Las Vegas, I'll be doing stand-up comedy, LA Comedy Club, Bally's Hotel Casino. The show goes at 9:30. Tickets are $30. So be sure and check that out, LA Comedy Club. Odds Couple, Monday through Friday. Check me out, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com. That's Tim Donahue's site for my good buddy, Anthony Padilla. My name is Scott Pritchard. We'll see you next week. Odds Couple goes Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Las Vegas time.
See ya.